Welcome to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Geisel. This podcast is dedicated to helping you create a life that sets your soul on fire. I believe that is truly possible for everybody, but you have to be willing to do a few things. You have to be willing to let go of your past conditioning. You have to be willing to break free from societal norms. And you have to be willing to get really curious about your life and how you can start to look at it differently. Each week, we will hear stories from people who have done exactly this. People who chose to disrupt the life path they were on, go against the grain, and share the lessons and perspective shifts they had to make along the way. Every episode is committed to not only inspiring you and connecting you with other amazing humans, but actually giving you the tools that you need to use this information in your own life so that you continue to evolve and reconnect with your highest self. Are you ready? Let's have some fun. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I am really excited to share this episode with you. We have a good friend of mine, Darcy Molina, here. She is a licensed physical therapy assistant of 4 years who branched out from the corporate health setting to helping high functioning people as well as athletes whom health insurance doesn't properly serve. In addition to that, she's a competitive weightlifter, outdoor enthusiast, coffee lover, and dog mom. In this episode, we talk about what it takes to be an athlete at an elite level and truly what it takes to be elite at anything. We talk about the power of knowing and understanding the difference between discipline and motivation. She shares with us the moment that she almost gave it all up and the perspective shift that she had to make in order to fall back in love with her sport that I think we all can learn from. There's such a huge lesson in this. And we also talk about the rule of thirds and how you can apply that to your own life, her experience with therapy. We go into a lot of different things here. All of them are profound. And I'm so excited for you to listen to this episode. I want to hear what your takeaways are. And just again, thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of the Evolve Beyond Limits community. And I hope you thoroughly enjoy this episode. Let's dive in. Oh my gosh. Okay. Welcome, Darcy, to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I'm really excited that you're here and I get to share you because I've had you in my life for a while now, but I get to share you with the Evolve Beyond Limits community and I'm pumped.
Yeah. I was actually, first of all, thanks for having me on your podcast. Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day though. I'm like, man, how long have I known Stacey for? And I think it's been, are we going on like 10 years? Is that possible? Is it possible that it's been that long?
So I had counted 8, 9-ish.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And the only reason, this is actually really funny, the only reason is because I just had a bunch of memories pop up from 16.1 CrossFit Open. And I'm like, that was my first one. So that was 8 years ago, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would have been 8 years ago. And we knew each other a little bit before that.
Yeah. How do those photos look? What do those look like?
Well, you see, I'll have to post them.
Great.
I'm gonna post them on Instagram for everybody to see. I might put them on Patreon for everybody to see. I had my little headband and I had my compression socks and my knee sleeves.
And you know. I probably looked like a tiny baby.
Oh my gosh. Actually, I don't know if you're even in them.
If I find the photos from 8 years ago, I'm like a twig.
Yeah.
It's like I ate my past self, consumed her and grew.
Well, so yeah, I was doing the math too. So it's funny that we were both in math situations. I was like, gosh, yeah. Really? Like, it's kind of insane to me that it's been that long. And so a little history is that Darcy and I mean, we've done CrossFit together. We've done powerlifting together. We've done competitions together. Darcy was one of my first ever nutrition clients. So like, right? Like when I started that, like you were one of the first people to be like, yeah, I'll do that because Darcy's pretty much up for anything. And now like Darcy's the one that we call when we're like having aches and pains because of her physical therapy background and she really knows her shit. And we've just been in like the health and wellness space together for a very long time.
And in many different capacities, like over those 8, 9, however many years it was, like the way that we've both grown and evolved
Yeah.
It's just like incredible. The change is incredible.
It's crazy. Like I think back to.
You were a nurse.
I know. I was a nurse when we first started and just who we were, like probably obsessed with some things. And then we were, but we always had the most fun. That's the thing about Darcy that like she brings to really anything she does. For anybody listening is like, she's just fun. Like even she's lifting, like she's one of the strongest women I know. And I like, she's strong in other ways, but I'm physically, she is one of the strongest women I know. And I always loved lifting with her because I'm one of those people who wants to be the best at something. And there's just no fucking way. Like there's literally no competing. Like there is no way that I was going to get to the level that Darcy was at. Like she, and I don't think you'd mind saying this because he says it, but like she competes with Andrew in weight, right? Like in like the amount of weights that she lifts. So I'm like, this is great. Like pressure's off. I can just like have a great time.
I think Andrew felt the same way. He's like, how can I catch Darcy?
Yeah. And then we both gave up on life. No, I'm just kidding. We just had other, let's just say our gifts are different.
which is totally fine. Totally fine.
I could beat her in a cardio workout probably.
Or surfing, wake surfing. Yeah, I'm like, oh, Stacey's got a 360. I can do that. Watch me try 12 times.
And fall. I still do that.
And so. Get zero rotation out of any of them.
It's so funny. So it's just, it's fun to look back and just, like I said, see. And now we're both living in different parts of the country. So we were in Michigan when we met. Yeah. Now you're in San Diego, we're in Greenville, and so much has changed. So I want to talk about that. But before, I like to ask just some like random kind of fun questions.
Let it fly.
So the first one, just so that people can kind of get to know you a little bit, sure. Is where, and it's really just their selfish questions, but where is like the your favorite place that you've traveled?
Ooh, honestly, Utah. That's the reaction I get when I say that. People are like, I'm sorry, excuse me. Are you sure?
Utah is so beautiful.
That's the thing.
It really is.
Yes. The first time I went, I was visiting my buddy who lives in St. George, and we went to Snow Canyon. I can't remember exactly where Snow Canyon is. It's not part of the national park. Mm-hmm. But it was just like this quick little hike, good elevation. And when you got to the top, oh my God, just breathtaking. I think it was the first time I saw mountains from like a bird's eye view, and it just blew me away. So I don't know if it's truly my favorite place, but it's a very special place to me. And it still ranks as just gorgeous.
I'm trying to think, and maybe I'm wrong, but could that have been, and maybe there's like a nostalgia or just like a, like you're saying, like it's more of a very special place. Cause I feel like you hadn't done a lot of traveling up until that point.
I had not. I hated travel. I hated it. I think part of the reason I hated it growing up was I had horses. So like traveling when you have a horse is
back up the horse.
Yeah, pretty non-existent. You're like, you can't just call your buddy, hey, can you watch my dog or my cat? Like it's a horse. So I didn't travel a lot when I was younger. My family didn't really take trips, but I went to visit my buddy who had moved, and it was James.
Yeah. I was like, that's a mutual friend. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It's been so long.
I know. It's been a while.
But yes, I went to visit James, and I realized like that was the moment I realized I was like, wow, this world is so beautiful and I haven't seen any of it. So then I just started I travel for competitions, and I started using competitions. If we're going anywhere scenic, I'm like, let's take an extra day or two and let's find a hike, or let's go to the beach, or let's find a mountain. Let's get lost in a forest. So since then I travel a lot now, probably at least 4 recreational trips a year. Like this year we've already gone to Cabo, which we went to Cabo a couple years ago, but we were like, we got to go back. So
I love Cabo.
It's just starting and there's going to be so much more.
It's so good. And I think it's just something to, travel is just, it's so near and dear to my heart, but I that when it's amazing that it does, it takes like one trip and you're like, what have I been doing?
Yeah. Or what haven't I been doing?
Right. Might be a better question. So I love that. I love that it was kind of the catalyst for traveling. And I love, you know, four times a year. That's always our goal too. Like once a quarter or two, even if it's nothing, it doesn't have to be anything crazy.
No.
But there's so many cool places. Right now, I'm kind of obsessed with like these mini horses, like these mini, those like Highland. No, they're cows. They're not horses. Gosh, they're mini cows. They're like these mini Highland cows. It's stupid.
Stacey, but anyway. Do you have a cow in your house right now?
Not yet. be a good time for it though. We don't have a cow yet, but there's like, I was looking and now Instagram's got my number, right? So now everything cows on my everywhere. Feed is cows. Like it's nothing but cows. I'm like, this is fascinating. So I just found out, maybe you're gonna have to come visit because you would love this. There's like a farm in North Carolina that isn't that far that we can go and stay on. And they have like these mini cows and all of these farm animals. It's an Airbnb. And we can just go like snuggle these things.
I'm going to need you to send me the address so that when you go missing, I know where to find you.
Bye, honey. I've gone to live amongst the cows. Might happen. We'll see.
It's not that far-fetched.
No, it's really not. It's not. Okay. So, gosh, see, you never know. Like these questions, they get long sometimes. But what is
Utah.
One thing that's on... Utah. That's the answer.
Next question.
Yeah, Utah is beautiful. I remember driving from Kanab, which is like at the very bottom, closer to Page, Arizona. And we were driving from Kanab up to, oh gosh, where do you ski? See, this is like, it was Andrew's thing.
Ski in California?
Utah. No, in Utah. Everybody's... Everybody that's listening is like,
that's all I got.
Anyway, it's somewhere else in Utah. And I just remember that drive and being like, this looks like a picture, like a, just a painting that I can't describe. I don't know. It's a Park City. That's it. Just so everybody knows, Park City. Very fun. Very cute.
Nailed it.
So, okay. That's where you've been so far. What is something that's on your bucket list right now?
Ooh, more travel is on my bucket list, but that's pretty generic. So, okay. This is probably not on anybody else's bucket list. It's just me. I last December, I took third at American Open Finals. So I finally made podium on a national stage for Olympic weightlifting. And I want to work my way up to first place. I want to hit first place and then I want to compete internationally for Team USA. So that's like my bucket list. It's so odd. I'm sure a lot of people don't relate to that. I don't know. It depends. But that's a big goal for me. And I'm going to feel very accomplished and fulfilled, and knowing the years that it takes to get there, that's going to be a big check mark off my list.
Yeah. I actually want to go into that more before we go anywhere, because some people listening might be like, what is Olympic weightlifting? Like I was talking to my friend yesterday, and said something about it. And she's like, are you actually in the Olympics? Like that's usually a question, right? And so for anybody listening who doesn't know what Olympic weightlifting is, can you clue us in?
Yeah, sure. So Olympic weightlifting is a lifting sport. The name of the sport is Olympic weightlifting. It does not mean that you're competing or going to the Olympics. It's kind of like powerlifting, right? Except that's called powerlifting. This is Olympic weightlifting. So it's just the name. But what we do is we specialize in two movements. One of them is the snatch, where you take the bar from the ground straight up overhead in one movement, no pausing, no stopping. And the next lift is called the clean and jerk. It's a two-part lift. So you take the bar from the floor up to the shoulders in part one, and then you're going to drive the bar from your shoulders up overhead in part two. And when you go to these competitions, essentially you get three tries at each of those lifts, and they're going to take your best snatch and your best clean and jerk and add them together for a total. And then your placing, how you perform, is based on your total as well as your weight class. And there's a couple age categories too.
Okay. Thank you. And so just to give a little bit more context to the, like, powerlifting might be something that people are actually a little more familiar with. And that's where you go and you do like squat, deadlift, bench press. So it's kind of like the three, these like very, you know, the, like those three movements. And then the Olympic lifting is the snatch and the clean and jerk, much more technical. I'm not going to say that it's harder or this or that. It's just like, it's different, but it's much more technical. Like there's a lot more going on. And so, like you said, I mean, you have been pouring yourself into Olympic weightlifting for how many years now?
It's been 4 years. I dabbled in it a little bit before that because of CrossFit.
Sure.
But, dived away from CrossFit, did just powerlifting for 2 years, took a break to finish school. And then once school was done, wanted to get back into some sort of competitive lifting. And I love trying new stuff. So I was like, well, I've already done powerlifting. Let's try Olympic weightlifting. And, I started that right in 2020. So that was my first, January of 2020 was my first competition, and I had only started training like 2 months prior. So mm-hmm. It's been about 4 years now. And 2 years ago, I got so serious with it that I stopped working full-time in physical therapy, and I started working part-time on my own so that I actually could dedicate more time to my training.
Because what is, I think people underestimate probably what, you know, when you see athletes at a high level, you know, that are doing these things, I think sometimes we underestimate how much time and dedication it really does take. So what does that look like for you? And what are some of the things you've had to like overcome and learn and just go at it? What do we need to know?
Okay. Well, as far as the time commitment, I would say on average, and this varies depending on my training cycle or block or many variables, but on average, I train 5 days a week, which is pretty standard for most people. But the part that's different is I train about 3 hours a day. And when I say that, that's when people's jaws hit the floor. And they're like, you spend 3 hours in the gym? Yeah, I do. Because every time I go in, I have a combination of stretching and a dynamic warm-up that I do. And that takes me anywhere from 20 minutes if my body's feeling good. Or on a day that I need a little more love and TLC, it could take me 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Because with, like you said, these movements are very technical and they also require a lot of range of motion from your body. Like you have to be able to get into a deep squat. You have to have good shoulder and spinal mobility. So if I'm feeling stuck, I can't go into my lifts because I'm going to have a bad lifting day or risk injury. So I take my time, do my warm up. I probably lift the remainder of the time, and I have to admit, I don't stretch after, but I stretch before. That's what works for me. That's something I talk about with my clients, but that's a different conversation. So it's about five days a week, 3 hours a day. Right now we are working in 5 week training blocks. So I get my program 5 weeks at a time. And this is the other part that blows people's minds. Week after week after week after week, I am doing the exact same thing for 5 weeks straight. My Monday workout is the exact same every single Monday. The only thing that's different is my percentages. So I might start at 70% on week one, 75% on week two, et cetera. So it's getting heavier as I go.
Mm-hmm.
As far as struggles, right there, that can get monotonous. So it comes down to sometimes I'm motivated, right? And a lot of times people will ask like, well, how do you stay motivated? You don't. The reality is you do not stay motivated. It comes down to discipline and priority. For me, I want this so bad that the discipline just happens. I don't have another choice because I want this outcome. I want to check that bucket list of making it to first place in the nation. And then I want to make it to competing internationally and see where I land, you know, among other countries. So it's not always going to be motivational. There are definitely days where I'm dragging my butt into the gym. Luckily, I have a fantastic coach and he can usually read me. And the second I walk in the gym, he'll look at me and how vulgar am I allowed to get on your, podcast?
You can do whatever you want on this
great
podcast.
All right. My favorite thing that he says to me, and it works for me, he's also a great coach at reading his athletes. He would probably never say this to any other athlete, but for me, I'm like, oh yeah, let's do this. So he'll look at me and he goes, hey, Darce, I need you to untuck your balls from your labia today because we got work to do. And I'm like, you got it, coach. That lights a fire in me. So I'm very fortunate to have him in my corner. He can always read my mood. He can read if I'm depleted. And then
Tarsi's not that hard to read, just so you guys know. I've coached her before too. You're like, you know, a coach's dream because you're like, oh, I know what's happening right now.
This is going to circle us back to another conversation where you told me one time, you're like, you have to learn how to leave things at the door. And I was like, but why? This is how I feel. You were like, oh, I understand, but it can affect other people. And I was like, oh, so I'm being toxic. Got it.
Got it. Check.
Fast forward 8 years. I'm better at hiding it. Part of that came from owning my own business. You got to walk up to a client and they can't know anything about your personal life. So anyways, yeah, 5 days a week, 3 hours a day, working through motivation, discipline, having a great coach. And I've noticed over the last year, because I'm always trying to critique myself as an athlete and where are my shortcomings? Where are my strengths? Last year, we struggled. We struggled this time last year, actually. I was hating the gym. I was hating training. I didn't want to go. Instead of being a positive in my life, it really felt like an overall negative. And I was this close to quitting the whole sport, not just taking a break, but like quitting, being done, deciding to pour 100% of myself into my business instead of, you know, this 50-50 split. And we took a lot of time to step back and a lot of uncomfortable conversations with my coach. And the ultimate conclusion was that I had an unrealistic timeline expectation of where I was going to land as an athlete and when. So again, I've been in the sport for 4 years, which sounds like a long time, but for anybody who's trying to reach an elite level of competition, that's nothing. That is drops in the bucket. So my coach basically sat me down one day and he's like, who are you comparing yourself to? And I'm like, I'm comparing myself to Kate Viber and Maddie Rogers. And these are Team USA's Olympians.
Right.
And he goes, okay, how long have they been training Olympic weightlifting for? And I'm like, oh, I think Kate's been about 8 years and Maddie has been about 10. And he's like, okay, what'd they do before that? And I'm like, well, one was I believe a cheerleader and the other one was a gymnast. And he goes, okay, so they have a long history of being an athlete and history of being in Olympic weightlifting. And then he goes, what about you? And I'm like, oh, I started working out when I was 21 and I was running because that's all I knew how to do. And then I did CrossFit and then I did jujitsu and then I did kickboxing and then I did powerlifting.
Strongman.
And then thank you. And then I did strongman. See, the list is long. I like trying new things. And then I did Olympic weightlifting. And he goes, how long have you been Olympic weightlifting? I'm like, 4 years. And he goes, okay, I'm not trying to diminish the work that you've put in 4 years. But by you thinking that you should be at the same level as these Olympians, you're diminishing their work. Why do you have the right to be where they are? And it took them twice as long as you. He goes, do you think you're special? And I kind of hit and I'm like, wow, you're right.
Kinda.
Excuse me.
Dang
I
it.
Do, but I get your point. No, it was a very eye-opening conversation. And he just sat me down and he was like, you can have everything that you're dreaming of, but you have to give it the proper amount of time. And once we had that conversation, everybody talks about loving the process, right? And again, to a degree, you're going to love the process. And then there's going to be some days where you're like, I hate this and I don't want to go and I don't want to do it. And I quit.
Yeah.
But overall, I really do. I sat down. This was what he asked me. He said, picture your life without Olympic weightlifting. And what do you think? And I was like, oh no, this is bad. I don't like that. And he's like, okay, so you love the sport. You're just not loving the fact that you're not where you think you should be because you have an unrealistic timeline expectation. Mm-hmm. And once we had that conversation, I actually fell in love with the process. So now I take my good days and my bad days for what they are. Like, both of them are making me stronger. It's all part of the process. And when I need my rest day, whether it's mentally or physically, I take it. And that's fine. So it's tough to be like a career or a competitive athlete. And I think people don't necessarily grasp that it's not always this great experience. And I'll be the person, if you go to my Instagram and you scroll, you'll see a lot of me failing lifts. And I have people DM me all the time and they're like, I love that you post your fails because nobody else does. And they make it seem like it's meant to be this linear, perfect process. And it's not. And they're like, the fact that you post your fails and your struggles, like, it makes it real and it gives me hope. And I'm like, oh yeah, I fail a lot. Don't you worry.
Don't you worry.
Been doing it for 4 years, dropped a bar on my neck a month ago. Like, we do dumb things. It's fine. We're still intact.
Yes. And I think that, yes, you're talking about being a competitive athlete, but what you're saying, like, I am drawing into so many facets of life. If you want to be elite or a master or like create mastery in anything, then what Darcy is giving you is straight up wisdom. Like, you, and there's so many people. One, we call it the expectation station because it just is funny. Like, I'm like, are we sitting at the expectation station today? Like, is that what's going on? Like, creating imaginary timelines? Is that what we're up to?
I was there for 4 months. I was there. Yeah. You're like, I lived at the expectation station.
I'm not moving. I don't want to get on a train. I don't want to go home. I
have my little knapsack pouting, maybe a picket sign.
Yeah. I quit. But it's so true. Because I see it in business, and I have fallen into it in my own business. If you start a business, if whatever, it doesn't matter. It's just another way of saying it. But it's like everybody thinks they're owed something. Like, it's actually quite funny. And I have done this, like, and so I'm calling myself out here, where it's, you know, I've been in business for, you know, I've owned my own business for 5 years. And why is it not what I think it should be, right? Or like, and I absolutely love the tough love and the advice that, because it's like, you are special. We're all special, and you're not special. Like, you still have to put in the work. You still have to have the discipline. And people, I actually saw, I'll have to post this because it's so funny. It was this guy, and he's at this podium, and there's all these people. It's like a little cartoon, you know? And
sure.
He is like, who wants change? And everybody has their hands up, right? And then the next one below it, he's like, who wants to change? And everybody's like, fuck that. Like,
yeah, no.
I don't want to do that. And that is the reality of our world. And so many people, they say that they want something and they're not willing to do what it takes to have that thing. And so something that I love that you said that I want to circle back to is, you were like, am I always motivated? No, but like, I don't have another choice. And something that I've noticed that elite in anything kind of fall back to is, it's not, do I want to, do I not want to? It's, this is who I am. I show up. And it takes away the, so often we just have to get our mind out of the way, right? Like, our mind will talk us out of things so quickly because it's trying to keep us safe. Oh my gosh. It's like, you wake up in the morning, and if you didn't think you'd get out of bed and go do something productive, you think for 5 seconds, you're like, well, I don't want to go for a walk because then I have to put on shoes. Yeah. Well, yeah, like that's part of it. But like, you're like, and with shoes comes pants. And with pants, oh, that's just too much.
And I don't know what the weather's like. Maybe I don't need pants. Maybe I need shorts.
This is
too overwhelming.
I can't do it. But we all do this. Like, I'm laughing because I've probably had this conversation with myself And you have to take away the choice a lot of times. And I was telling Andrew, actually, because he likes to get out of bed and do something, but he gets in his head. And there's a lot of people who get in their heads about what to do. So sometimes he's like, I could stretch. I could go for a walk. I could do this. I could do that. I was like, you know what you're going to do is we're going to write all of the things that you would enjoy doing in the morning on popsicle sticks. And we're going to put them in a jar. And when you wake up, you're literally just going to pull one.
This is genius. Because I'm Andrew. You know this. Andrew and I are so similar. I will sit here for 3 hours in the morning and be like, I have so much time. I could do so many things. And then 3 hours is gone. And I'm like, well, shit, I didn't do anything. And now I have no time.
And yeah, now I have nothing to do. And it's because you're thinking about what you want to do. So I'm like, just pull the popsicle stick. And you're going to be like, and you could, this is actually, if when we're learning to listen to our body and actually what we like, are that yes or no, like of our gut and get our mind out of it. You could pick one and say, like, listen to what your body says. If it's like, ooh, that sounds good. Then you're like, yeah, like go do it. And if it's like, no, just pick a different one, but like, don't think about it. Right. Like, it's just like,
grab okay. And go.
And if you get to the last one, like you got no choice. You're going to go do that one. Right. Like
you've run through your popsicle sticks.
Yeah. Like we're done. Right. You're like, you're not going to do none of them because you don't feel like it. You are the person that picks a popsicle stick. Okay. But I do think that we just have to get our mind out of it. And that's where, when you said like, I don't have another choice. It's not about motivation. It's not about like, it's just that like, this is who I am and this is what I
do. Another way I kind of look at that is priority. Like for me, it's such a high priority. That's what tells me I don't have another choice. I'm going because I want this end result. Even if I don't want it in this moment, I know in my core, I want it long-term. Whereas for somebody else, it might not be as big of a priority for them. Half of my teammates on the weightlifting team, it's not as much of a priority for them. So they're like, my cat's on my lap. I don't really feel like going. I'm not going to go today. And that's fine for them because that's in alignment with their priorities. So that's another way I look at it too, is it a priority to you? And like you said, like, where is it within your core? Do you want it that bad or don't you? And that's often going to reflect in your actions.
Oh, I just had this conversation in a podcast earlier, is like, so often we'll say that we want something, but we're not willing to do what it takes to get there, or we're not willing to put in, and I don't mean just time on a daily basis, because whenever we're making any type of change in our life, it doesn't mean that you have to spend a ginormous amount of time, but it's cumulative. And that was something I was going to bring up, because there was two words as you were describing your like this process for you that came up, and it was monotony, which is really difficult for people. But the other one was patience. And
are you bringing up that word because you know I'm not a patient person?
I don't believe that that's true, actually.
Oh, that's really sweet.
I think that this sport was brought into your life to teach you that. Let me rephrase.
Okay.
Because I don't know that you are naturally would consider yourself patient. However, you have been working at one sport for 4 years, taking the trials and the tribulations and like all these different things that come with it. You know, there's always injury and drawbacks and then we have celebrations and all these things. And I think when I hear you talk about what happened and you wanting to quit, it was like that patience had run thin, right? You're like, and I'm done. Like, I'm done with this because it's not happening on my timeline. And we don't like when things don't happen on our timeline. And I just think that the question that's almost coming up for me is what changed? Because something changed in you, because you did used to go from thing to thing to thing to thing. Like, and yes, you like to try new things. And sometimes, and I'm not saying this is you, but sometimes when we go from thing to thing to thing to thing, it's because we don't want to stick with anything long enough to, like, if we're like, we'll be good, but to be great requires another level of you, right? It requires another, like a whole nother evolution.
Yeah.
And so now you've been doing the same thing for 4 years, which is pretty unheard of for you. What changed?
It's very unheard of. It's actually almost what you just said. And I asked myself this recently. I think maybe one of my fellow gym goers asked me the same question. They're like, why have you stuck with weightlifting for 4 years when previously, as I said, I did jujitsu on and off for a year and a half. CrossFit was very on and off over a span of maybe 5 years. Powerlifting, I did 2 years straight, nothing else. That was probably my biggest previous commitment. Strongman, I did 3 months, did a competition, won it, qualified for a national meet and was like, nah, I'm done.
I remember
but
that.
But I think my coach was very upset. Sorry, Ben, if you ever find this podcast, I apologize. But I actually think that's what it was. It was the fact that I got into Olympic weightlifting and I was strong, but as far as technique goes, which again, this is a very technical sport. The thing that matters most is your technique. There are people much smaller than me that are much stronger than me. It's insane because their technique is better than mine. So it was the fact that historically I had done well in sports because I was strong and I kind of was naturally good at them. The first year I did powerlifting, I went to the world championships. It was a small federation. It wasn't like the big top dogs or anything, but I went to worlds and I won. So the next year we went to a more difficult federation, one that was kind of in the middle. Same thing. I went to worlds and I won. So jujitsu, went to my first tournament, won both of my matches.
You're noticing a theme here.
Yeah. So I actually think that the thing that got me was I went into Olympic weightlifting and I think at my first meet, I did win, but I also saw that it was a small meet. And then the next one that I went to was a larger meet and it was a national meet, but I placed, I think I placed like 15th and I was like, wow, I'm at the bottom or like, I'm not at the top. And I was like, I want to get to the top. And so I just started taking the time to dive into it. And the first couple years, the highs were so high. And I think that was part of the addiction. Like when something technically clicks with one of these lifts, you're like, oh my God, I did it. I get it. And then you go to do it again. And you're like, okay, maybe I don't get it because it didn't happen that time. So how do I get that? And it becomes this addiction of like, you see what your potential is and what you're capable of, and you want to keep chasing that better version of yourself. Mm. And again, last year I almost quit because as you said, my patience had kind of run out. But again, I asked myself, what does my life look like without this sport? And I didn't like what I saw. So I asked myself, am I willing to keep at this for whatever? I took the timeline off. I didn't say like the next 4 years, 2 years. I said for however long this is. Am I willing to stick with it? Am I happy trying to continually be better than I was yesterday or last month or last year? And I was like, yeah, I like that. I don't know if that gets me first place at a national level. I don't know if it gets me to an international meet. And I'm okay with that now. Again, a bucket list. Yeah, I want it. I want to make it to first place in the nation. If I don't, I'm okay with that. Because I still have spent the last 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, however long I do this for, trying to be better than I was before. And I think that changed who I am as a person, even to my core, because I watched it change my business too. I started asking myself like, well, gee, where can I get more continuing education so that I can keep showing up for my clients in a better way and I can keep learning and bringing new skills to them? And how can I, right now my business is all hands-on. So how can I have a hands-off component to my business so I can reach people who aren't just local? I started thinking like bigger and longer term. And that growth just became addicting. But you can't see growth if you keep changing your path and your direction. So it just taught me, you got to stay here to keep making these past comparisons and see how much you've grown. And I just love it.
it's so good. And it is so powerful to see how that shift, because so many people, it's like what they're after. And I actually did a podcast on this. I don't know. Let's go back a few. I'll have to link it up in yours. But it's like shifting the intention, right? Because most people are really after the result. And they're trying to get the outcome. And so they don't, and that is going to, it's always going to lose that motivation. It's going to lose that, you're going to lose that fire. And something it sounds like to me that you shifted. And so that's like a very external motivation, like the money, the, you know, being on top of the podium, being like doing, you know, kind of reaching that, that goal or whatever it is this external motivator. And it ebbs and flows. And another thing, actually, of a friend of mine had this story of this guy who, he was a pro athlete. He was a football player, and the big goal was to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. Well, he did it, and he was standing afterwards, and he realized, like, he was like, this whole time I've been chasing after this thing, and like, I don't feel. And all I was trying to do was make my dad, actually what he was trying to do was make his dad proud. And he was talking to his dad, and his dad's like, I've been proud of you this entire time. But he like, he realized that he almost missed that because he was so fixated on the goal. And by the time he got to the goal, he didn't enjoy it. He couldn't enjoy it because he was like, it wasn't the thing. Right. And so it sounds like to me, you kind of shifted into this internal motivation, which is like the flame never goes away. The burning desire never goes away. When you show up every day and you say, it's not about the money, it's how do I be the best version of me? It's not about the podium, it's how do I get a little bit better than yesterday? And and you took off the timelines.
Well, and let's circle back really quick. It was this time last year, so like February, March, that I was about to quit. I mentally came back around. Oh, actually, what I said to my coach this time last year was, if I go to the national championships in July and I don't make top five, I quit. Guess what? I went to that meet with that attitude and I almost bombed out. For people who don't know what bombed out means, it means you have to make at least one snatch and at least one clean and jerk for a total. And if you don't, you're disqualified. I missed my first snatch. I missed my second snatch. And he was like, if you don't make this third one, you're out. So I made the third one. We move on to clean and jerk. I missed the first. I missed the second. And he's like, Darcy, literally your last lift determines whether you're disqualified or not. And I made my last lift. So making only two lifts out of six, I placed eighth. Had I hit the numbers that we had planned, had I gone in with a good attitude, good mentality, we hit the numbers we planned, I would have taken fifth place. So I shot myself in the foot and got eighth place. And he's like, what are you going to do? You're going to quit? And that's when we started these conversations and my mentality changed. Let's say it changed in August. So from August until my next competition, which was December, I had this new mentality and I went into this competition prep, loving the process and truly not caring where I placed. Guess what happened? I went to American Open Finals, the other national meet that we host, and I got third place. I was finally on the podium. The second I stopped caring and fixating on the end result, and I just started looking at, why am I doing this? Why do I love this? And what do I want out of it? But what does that timeline look like? The second I just accepted everything for what it was, I made my goal. I got third place. I placed third in the nation. And because of the fact that I had that mental shift, I had the opposite experience of Mr. Super Bowl, right?
Right.
I got on that podium and I started bawling. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite photos is afterwards, like I just ran to my coach and hugged him, and he's a big guy. So he like lifted me up off the ground and I'm like in his arms crying and he's hugging me. And like, that is one of my favorite pictures because it just encapsulates to me. Oh, I'm getting like emotional.
It
encapsulates to me the process that we went through together, which is like huge.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very like sweet. It's very touching to me.
It is. And I think that you can feel it. And that's the difference.
Oh my God,
it's like when you're chasing that external thing, there's not this, that connection that you have is not the same as I have shown up day in and day out, just not because I had to get this thing to feel worthy or validated or whatever that looked like, but just because I wanted to, and this is part of my path and like, this is important to me, and to feel that like, and to you to hit that pinnacle with that is just like, whoa, It's different. It's a completely different experience.
And I can only imagine if I had taken third place without this like mental shift, I probably still would have quit because I would still be tired and out of patience. It still wouldn't have been good enough. Even if I made it to that podium, somehow it still wouldn't have been good enough. It either wouldn't have been fast enough. Like, oh, I should have done this a year ago or 2 years ago. Like the bitterness underlying would still be there. So
that's a powerful lesson in itself.
Yeah. It was a very welcomed shift that we went through last year. And it makes me super excited for the future because I don't know what it looks like. And to a degree, I don't care. And we're just going to take each stride as it comes and enjoy the process, truly enjoy the process.
Yeah. I think it's really easy for people to give that advice or to say, you know, like, I'm just going to enjoy the process.
Oh, and he had been giving me that advice for years.
Sure. Absolutely. But then even sometimes when we tell ourselves that, and then the next thing you know, you're like, you're shifting towards being attached to the thing again, right? Like, and you are fighting against accepting where you are and what that is. And it's like, it's almost, do you ever have that, first of all? And how do you know if you're falling back into it and how to come back?
Literally last week, every day last week, I was like, I don't want to train. I don't want to train. I don't want to train. And then I went, it's February. It was this time last year that I went down a dark rabbit hole. And I was like, ooh, make note of that. So I'm also noticing patterns. We do 6 month preps for competitions. The first 2 months, I'm like so hype because I'm coming off a competition. It's a new cycle. It's all exciting and fresh. So that's month one and two. Month like three and four is right in the thick of it. And I'm like, the goal is too far away. The past success is too far away. So again, no motivation. I get in like this, I call it like ick. And then month five and six, I can like see the competition ahead. It's really close, the timeline. So I'm motivated again. So I stopped and like caught myself last week. I'm like, ooh, am I getting in the ick again? Like, is this the ick? And I just like stopped to ask myself the same questions and like revisit the conversations we had last year. And I was like, do I love the sport? Yes. Do I like how my life looks without the sport? No. Okay, then let's assess, why am I feeling this way? Am I bored with the program? Do I need a mental break? Is my body beat up? Do I need a physical break? Or is it just part of the process? So I can't remember which Olympian said this, but I heard it and have never forgotten it. She was talking about her Olympic coach gave her advice on something called the rule of thirds, which lines up perfectly. What I just say, first 2 months, middle 2 months, and last 2 months, right? Mm-hmm. So the rule of thirds, a third of the time in your training, you're going to feel great. And this is for like elite level athletes, but this could probably be applied to businesses too. A third of the time you're going to feel great. You're going to feel like you're kicking butt and you got this and you're excited and you're motivated and just all the love for whatever it is that you're doing. A third of the time, another third, you're going to feel okay. Like, all right, I'm kind of coasting. Maybe I could be doing a little better. But things are going fine. Mm-hmm. And then a third of the time you're going to feel shitty. You're going to be like, this is hard. I don't like this. This is uncomfortable. I'm tired. But that proportion says that you're right where you should be. Because if more than a third of the time you feel good, you're probably not pushing yourself hard enough, whether it's training or learning, right? And if you're just coasting, well, obviously there's no growth in coasting. So as long as you're fine staying right there, okay. And if you feel shitty, that's not going to last. You can't feel shitty more than a third of the time because you're going to burn out and you're going to get this bitterness and you're going to want to quit and you're going to feel tired. And in sports, you're probably at risk for injury. So that rule of thirds is appropriate. So this time I kind of leaned into that. When I felt the ick coming last week, I was like, okay, we're in the third. We're in that third. And it might last 1 week. It might last 2 months. But if I love the process, I will see it through the ick, taking the steps back and the rest where it's appropriate. And that may have been a mistake that I made last year too, is not giving myself enough rest. Because again, the timeline in my head, I wasn't getting there fast enough. So it was like, no, we can't pause. Yeah, there's no time to rest. We can't stop. We can't pause. We have to push, get through it. And now I'm like, well, that's just going to burn me out. I am going to quit. The ick is going to consume me. So if I feel I need a rest, yesterday, perfect example. Yesterday, I was like, I don't feel like training today. I want to walk my dogs instead. And guess what I did? I walked my dogs instead. Mm-hmm. And I was completely okay with that. Guess what? Today, I'm going to go in and I'm going to train because I feel ready. I feel rested. I needed, and yesterday wasn't physical. I needed a mental break. So now I give myself these physical and mental breaks. And again, this applies to everything, whether you're building a business, whether you're working on a relationship, whether you're in a sport, you have to recognize when you need a second to step back and recharge. Because if you're not recharged, you're not showing up and performing. And I just really think that's the difference between last year and this year is I've kind of been through this. I can see it coming. And now I have these like actions that I take accordingly. And I give myself more grace, a lot more grace than I did last year.
That is so good. Like there's so much to pull from that. And I hope that anybody listening, yes, we're talking about, you know, we're talking about athletes, we're talking about businesses, but like apply this to your life. Like I sit there and I'm like, I love this rule of thirds because again, if you feel like most of your life, you're just coasting, then you probably feel unfulfilled. You probably feel like something's missing. You probably feel like, yeah, everything's fine. You know, like I talked to a woman yesterday and the way she said this, I just was one in awe of her, of the way that she could just admit this. And she said, you know, Stace, my life is good. And if I died tomorrow, I would not be satisfied with what I've like, with what people would say about me, with the, what I've done, like how I've spent my time. So it's like, think about that. Like, is more than your, like more than a third of your life in coasting? Is more of a, is a third of your life in, so many people get caught up in burnout, in exhaustion, in, because they're trying to force things. They're trying to push them. They're creating imaginary timelines. They're under an immense amount of stress. So, and that leads to burnout, exhaustion, all the things, right? Like you're going to quit on anything that you're doing. If it's, it shouldn't, like life should not always feel that hard either.
No.
Right. Like, and so when things, when you feel yourself like pushing and you notice that life just feels so hard. And I know that I've had this in my life. I know that Andrew and I have had this in our life. We've had this in our relationship where you're just like, goodness, like it just shouldn't feel this hard. Right. Like, and it's because you probably need a break, right? You probably need to rest, which seems like the last thing that you want to do. Yeah. And then again, the other third, like that you feel great. It's just like, well, maybe there is some like allowing yourself to kind of be in that and also saying like, am I pushing myself? Like this is the moment to test my edge a little bit, right? Like,
yeah,
can I push myself a little bit? Is there opportunities that are coming to me that would push me over into a next, like the next level of some sort? And, I think this is just such a great way of almost like you just gave people, whether you realize it or not, but you just gave them a tool to look at their life and regard, I don't care if you're doing sports or not, like look at your life and look at every aspect of your life and start to like, give it a percentage, like pay attention, notice when it feels like this and just know that an adjustment needs to be made.
Yeah. And give it time. Adjustments don't happen overnight. Or it might sway too. You might, you know, this doesn't have to be, this rule of thirds doesn't have to be in like long duration chunks, right? I spoke mm-hmm. of it in like 2 month chunks. That's just how it applies to me for my sport. My business, on the other hand, different. That could be different on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on a daily basis. I might have a day where I've got 6 clients and I'm like, whew, that was a long day. I'm tired, you know? And then the mm-hmm. next day I have 1 and it's like, wait, where'd everybody go?
Yeah. Guys. And like almost learning to enjoy.
Hello. Still here, guys.
And learning to, I actually was having this conversation, especially about business, learning to enjoy the
ebbs and flows. See
the, yes. Like the blessings of the ebbs and flows, because you can't stay ridiculously busy all the time. And there was something I was reading, cause there's actually like another gene, kind of gene key within us that talks about our natural rhythm. and how there's always like spring always comes after winter. And it doesn't, and it, like we think about that maybe in like 3 month chunks, but that's not the way I mean it. It's like if you are having a slow time right now, a time where you have had to pull back, you've needed to rest. Maybe it's a day, maybe it's a week, maybe it's a month. I don't know. Spring always comes, right? And can like, but what did you do with winter? That's like the question is like, what are you doing with that time? Can you, are you sitting there freaking out about spring and freaking out and like putting yourself into this high stress mode when really you needed to be resting and like calming yourself and preparing for spring when
plant
you're going to be
seeds.
Yeah.
Plant your seeds.
And it's just, but we struggle to enjoy that. Like, it's like, if we think that things slow down, we think we're being punished in some way. And it's like, no, it's just different. And maybe that's time to spend more time with your family or your dogs or, you know, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's powerful.
I like that too. I like that too. Plant your seeds in the winter. Well, yeah. Maybe not the winter. But,
spring,
you know,
yeah, might die in winter, but think, make this like strategize how you're going to plant your seeds in the winter, yes. Right? Like think about
what do you want to plant?
Right. What plants do I need to get? Do I need a shovel? Do I need some gardening gloves? Like, what do I like? What, it's a time to kind of be reflective more like reflect and prepare.
Yeah. That is a great analogy. Like, you can use your downtime to rest. You can use it to plan. You can use it for, like you said, spending more time with family. Just know that it's going to shift again. You're going to get busy again. And then, okay, great. Lean into that. And then when that changes, use that time to recharge and plan again.
And it's just easier said than done, I think, because when things slow down, what people do, and I know maybe I'm talking to myself, but what people naturally do is they push harder. They try harder. They assume they're not doing enough. Right. And like, they try to force things to happen rather than just taking the natural rest and like recharge. And, you know, we've both come from the health and wellness space, and it is just a constant reminder that rest is when we're like, the muscles are actually getting stronger, and they're actually like, there's always something happening when you feel like you're doing quote unquote nothing.
Yeah, that's very true.
And can we like shift that and accept it rather than trying to fight the nothing?
Yeah. And I think there's something to say too about like you said, sometimes when we get into these lulls, we feel this need to like push, like what, how am I falling short? What have I done wrong? How do I fix it? And I think those thoughts are okay if they're wired differently, because if you're using that downtime to say like, hey, how's my business doing? In a very calm and neutral way, just reflecting. How's my business doing? Oh, it's doing good. Cool. I'm going to embrace this downtime. Or like, oh, wait, if I just made this one change and this one change, I see more productivity down the road. And then ask yourself, like, can I take on these changes comfortably? Or is this going to ruin me next time things pick back up? And then make a plan to implement them. But you can do all of that with peace instead of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And when it comes from that place of anxiety, you're planning because it's a scarcity thing. It never brings the fruit that you hope it will bring. And if you're doing it, like you said, with the intention of not how can I make more money necessarily, but how can I better serve my clients, that intention and that purity, I swear it's more fruitful every time. And it's more effortless.
Yes. And it's actually just like one of the natural laws of the universe. Like, it's just the way it works. And I always joke, I say desperation doesn't look good on nobody. but that's what that is. That's like, we don't necessarily like to think about ourselves that way. But when we get into that scarcity, when we get into that fear, we're desperate.
Oh, yeah.
And people feel it. Like, they're like, oh, she needs some money. Like,
she needs something.
And it's just kind of that, and I love that you said that, because it really is about the intention. Because I know that I used to create from stress and anxiety and fear. Like, I know that for a fact. And when you switch over and start to create from more of that abundant space, like, and just like peaceful state. And like, you're doing it because of, you know, like out of love and just like love for what you do, love for your clients, love for like that, you will feel a significant difference in your body and how people respond to you, like everything.
It's going to fulfill you instead of drain you.
Yeah. Yeah. And 100%.
And it's funny because it's the exact same action, but with different intention.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, I think that is a perfect place to kind of start to wrap up, because I want to honor Darcy's time here, because she has just offered us so much goodness. It's been so great. But I do always like to end with one final question. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. What is one lesson you feel like you're in the middle of learning right now, or just something that could use a little love in your life?
I always try to go so deep with these questions, and then I feel like that song is playing in the background, like, do, 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 while I'm thinking.
It's not. No, just kidding.
A lesson I've learned in my life, or what was the second?
Or just like something that needs some love. Like, you're like, whew, I really need to love up on, like, I'm noticing this and I need to give it some attention.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll go with this one. I think that over the last couple weeks, I actually started therapy myself. And when I say that to some of my friends, their instant reaction is, you're in therapy? Why? Can I ask?
What's wrong?
Yeah.
And it's always like, the question. What's wrong?
Yeah. Actually, nothing. And then they kind of like look at me and I'm like, I decided that I wanted more growth for myself this year. And last year I had a lot of physical growth and mental growth in terms of like being a competitive athlete. But I started looking at my relationships, and although they're good, mm-hmm. actually some of them are great, I still saw places where like, well, man, if I was a little bit more in tune with this part of myself, or if I was a little bit more healed from this in my past, like how could I show up not only for the people in my life, but for me too? Like what does that version of me look like? Mm-hmm. And I'm 32 years old and I've never been in therapy. And it's something that I tell people all the time. I'm like, try it at some point in your life. You don't have to have anything wrong, but go to therapy. Why not? The only thing coming from it is a positive. You're going to learn more about yourself. You're going to learn more about how to communicate. It's going to challenge the way that you think, and you're going to grow from it. So this year I decided, I've thought about this for like 2 years, mm-hmm. and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll do it eventually. And this year I was like, nah, this is the year of self, mental and emotional growth. I'm like, we're doing it this year. So I just pulled the trigger and I signed up with my therapist, and she's like, what are we here to work on? And I'm like, I don't know. Let's figure it out.
Let's decide.
I've decided I needed more love for myself in that way. And again, not that there was anything wrong, not that, I wasn't happy with where I was. I just saw potential to grow. And I was like, why would we not tap into that?
Right.
Why? Well, why?
I've been, and most people know, and I'm actually going to do, so for anybody listening, on Patreon, I'm going to do like a separate episode talking about my experience with the therapy and the type of therapy that I'm doing. And I just want to bring this up because I think it's really powerful, is one of the best times to do therapy is when nothing is quote unquote wrong. Because you are so much more open to the process. You are open to seeing things different. You're not laser focused on this, like trying to find something that is going to fix you or is going to, again, there's that desperation of like, well, tell me what's wrong with me. Like, no, it's like, I just want to understand. And like, it's so much more fun when we go in, whether it's therapy, whether you go and get a coach, whether it's like, whatever it is, but don't wait until your life is crumbling, right? Like
just do it.
Yeah. Just do it. Like it's, and so I love that you brought that up. I love that you're doing that. Cause it's been a game changer for me too. And like I said, I'll do a separate episode. So we don't keep this one too long, but, Darcy, thank you so much for just coming on and sharing your heart and your wisdom with me and the community. I'm really excited to get this episode out and just let people, just, yeah, get all the
soak it all in.
Soak it all in. Exactly. But where can people find you? I will link it all up in the show notes, but if people are like, oh, I really like this chick, where can they find you? Like, what is the best place for them to get in touch with you?
Well, I'm in San Diego. No, I'm just kidding. I am. Don't spit your water out.
Yeah.
I don't use my Facebook anymore, but on Instagram, my personal Instagram, the one with all of my lifting stuff, including the fails, is at Darcy, that's D-A-R-C-I, and then underscore Mo, M-O. And I also have a business Instagram. Again, I'm a physical therapy assistant, and I do a lot of how-to videos, how to stretch this or foam roll that, just so self-care good. Type stuff. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And yeah. That Instagram is at @D.Mo_wellness.
Like I said, so we'll link them in the show notes too in case you can't seem to find it.
Yes.
But... okay. Awesome. Well, thank you again. Like you're
yeah,
just,
thank you so much
always
for
such
having
a light
me.
In my life. And I am just glad that everybody gets to experience you.
Thanks for sharing me. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I was really excited for this.
All right.